This is Deborah Mathis, your host of Energy for Success on Life Coach Radio Network. Tonight we have Yoli Tamu joining us. We're going to talk about mother-daughter relationships and how powerful that relationship can be in the early years and how important it is to maintain that connection. Also, as our daughters get older, how to transition that role to motherhood, as well as how to manage difficult relationships between mothers and daughters when we get older. So first of all, I want to invite our listeners how they can participate for upcoming shows. If you'll go to my website, DeborahMathis.com, click on the E2S Radio casting call. I would love to have you on as a guest where you can receive live coaching with any of my guest coaches that I invite on the show. Or you can also like Engage to Success on Facebook or send me a tweet, hashtag Energy for Success. At this time, I'm going to invite Yoli to introduce herself to the listeners.
Oh, great. Thank you for the introduction. I'm happy to be talking to you today. My name is Yoli Tamu, as you said, and I am a bonding strategist for mothers and their teen daughters. And for the past 17 years, I've been a high school educator and a college educator. And for the last 10, I have had the opportunity to operate or serve as an independent study teacher, which is one-on-one. So therefore, I have this true connection with students, and I get a lot of heart-to-heart information out of these kids away from their parents. And so as a result of some of the topics that came up, I formed a six-week program that came out of a lot of our conversations. And the kids were going home with a different attitude, and they were a little more positive and a little calmer and more understanding of their parents. And the mothers contacted me and said, you know, I don't know what you're telling my kid, but can you tell us? Can you package it up? Can you give us the information? And so as a result, I created a six-week program based on those conversations. So as a bonding strategist, I really get to the heart of issues and really help moms understand their teen girls.
Thank you, Yoli. How we met over Facebook, and you had listened to one of my earlier shows with Candy as we talked about caregiving, how to transition from that career maverick when you're at the top of your career, and then suddenly you find yourself becoming a caregiver, taking care of your parents. Let us get started about this conversation between mothers and daughters. Yoli, let's talk about mothers and daughters, because you know, the family structure has really changed. I mean, it has just changed from the breakdown from where we saw 50 years ago, where a normal family usually interacts with both parents being in the household, more or less, eating family dinner together. And, you know, we could sit around and have a conversation, and as the kids would do homework. Today, we're facing where there's more single parenting households than ever. You have many kids who are latchkey kids. We have all this technology around us that kind of ensues how that disconnection starts happening. So since you've been working in the education system and you're a bonding strategist, tell me how it got started where these young ladies started coming to you and just opening up about their relationship with their moms.
Well, as I said, because I'm in this one-on-one environment, independent study, it's like homeschooling, so a lot of our conversation has to do with what's going on in the home, if their homework is incomplete or if for some reason they're unfocused. I usually change the conversation and ask questions about what's distracting them. So, I mean, right out of the gate, just initially when I meet a student, I initially ask them what their goals are, how they're doing at this time, what do they feel is holding them back, do they feel they have support. So in essence, I don't necessarily just give an academic orientation, but I really give a personal and social orientation to get to know the kid right away, or the student right away, so they know I'm connected to them on a more deeper level than just helping them with their academics.
With that said, as we take a look at just the relationship between mother and daughter, as a mother, my son is now 19 years old, but coming into motherhood is such a joy that is just unexplainable. And especially when you have your first child, you want the very best for them. You want to protect them. You want just everything to be perfect. And sometimes as that mother role, we can tend to get overly protective, or we can establish that pattern where it's the parent-child authority position to where there creates a one-way communication. So more or less it's that parent telling the child what they are to do, which we call being instructional or parenting. But when that child starts growing up and coming into that childhood development, especially when they hit the tweens, that's when they start getting their own ideas.
That's it. That's right. Absolutely. And they want to be heard. And more than anything, they rebel if they don't feel respected. And that's what it comes down to. Respecting these teenagers where they are. And for some parents, it's hard to hear that. They need to respect me is what I hear. They should respect me. I shouldn't have to respect them. And it's like, well, actually you do. So as you said, as they grow, they're becoming these young adults that are forming opinions and have ideas. And in a lot of cases, these kids have some great ideas. They're open thinkers. They're not jaded yet because they're still young. And they really logically think through some of their concerns. And in my case, a lot of the times kids are solving some of their own problems by just talking them out. And that's what I try to encourage moms. Just let these kids talk. Just let them express themselves. And sometimes you'll be amazed. And, of course, you might be, feel in awe or in shock at some of the things that you hear. But by just letting them talk, so much comes forth, and then they start having their own realizations, their own aha moments, as Oprah would say. Those things happen. So that's all they want. They're looking for the respect.
Yoli, I would have to say, first of all, as parents, and you mentioned a very critical key where we tend to come from that generation of our parents, where it was children are to be seen and not heard, have been suffering loss, or that, what do you mean respected? You know, the only respect that's going to be done is either toward the father and or toward the mother. And children, what are you talking about, children are to be respected? But here's the thing. I know with my son, I was determined to break the cycle, allowing him that opportunity to be heard, because as parents we do tend to want to put the fear of God in our children, and we call that respect. If you're coming from that place of fear, how can you really expect your child to approach you, to talk to you?
Absolutely. It's not going to happen. All they're going to do is have this deep-seated resentment that'll just grow and explode at some point. That's really what happens. Or they just turn to someone else. They turn to somebody like myself, a teacher. They go to a coach, a mentor. They just find somebody else. But, you know, why can't it be you? Why can't it be mom at home or dad at home?
You bring up a good point. Is it because mom and dad is always working? Is it because mom and dad is not always available? Been some of the things that you can share have been the reasons why these young girls feel they can't go to their parents?
Well, some of them just look at them as the dictator. That's the title that comes to mind. They look at mom and dad as the dictator, that don't really have feelings, that can't really adjust or connect to where a teen is coming from. It's like they're so beyond their years, they can't even relate. So they don't even consider mom and dad because of the way that mom and dad have presented themselves. So they're no longer even an option. So that's what I hear a lot, that they're not even considered an option. And what I do to break down that barrier a little bit is that I take them back to the dreams that mom or dad may have shared. You know, what are some dreams that mom has had in her life that you think that she never accomplished? Or what are some major things that happened to mom that you never thought about that maybe she's a little fearful of you experiencing? And then they start bringing up some things that mom may have said here or there, or the reason I talk to you this way, or the reason I do this, because I don't want you to experience what I went through. So even if it was said in anger, a story came out of that. So I tell my kids, I said, you remember that story? Can you tell me what mom's story was about? So I humanized mom. I humanized the dictator, so to speak. And by humanizing her, they become softer, because then I say, how would you feel if you were in her position? Or how would you handle it if you were experiencing those things? That's how I humanize mom. So that's step one, really.
When I work with individuals as well, not only do they bring that up, you're fortunate to work with the kids. I, in turn, work with the adults. So many times, there are situations where there's the single working mother, whether she's in the workplace or running her own business, who is stressed from those challenges at work, and she really doesn't feel like she has time for herself because she's taking care of everybody else. And then you have the mother who is convinced that she needs to stay in her marriage for the kids, and she's going through her personal relationship with the husband because she's feeling that she's never really been loved and got married just to get out of her parents' house. And as you mentioned, there's a story behind there that, you know, the kids are not always going to be made aware of, but you are right. There is always a story. So adults are definitely dealing with different things, and especially when that tween and teen come of age and they're refusing to talk to their parents, they just act out or shut down, if you will, about talking to their parents. Then, of course, the parents are getting frustrated and can't understand why Amy has been their, you know, precious little princess, and all of a sudden they're not recognizing her because she seemed like she's changed overnight. So there's so many different dynamics here on both sides as to how can we get that understanding to where we can create that mutual respect for one another.
And I was going to add that, I mean, I understand the generation gap and that, you know, my generation, your generation, other generations, we have just been raised differently. So I understand that, and that's why that caregiving call was so powerful to me, because my mother in her 70s is now trying to slowly tell some stories, but she's still fearful of telling all of the stories, you know, or a great majority of the stories, so that I have a stronger understanding of who she is. But I'm encouraging her to do that. And when I talk to moms, I tell them that you don't want to be in your 70s explaining some behaviors or trying to understand why there was a breakdown in communication throughout your adult relationship. You know, now's the time to grab it as teenagers when they're very curious and they're very open and they're so easily influenced by any and everything. So you would really want them to be influenced by your reality, your humanity. And it may be painful, but a lot of these things these kids have been exposed to through stories they've heard, you know, from other parents or some other adults that feel comfortable sharing their story. Like for me, for example, a part of the reason why my kids are so comfortable with me is because I'm an open book. You know, I tell them what I went through in my teens. I tell them what I went through in my 20s, through my 30s, through my marriage, you know, because I am divorced. And I tell them that experience and how that was. And, you know, I just open up myself to them where they feel like, wow, she's not embarrassed or she's not ashamed. It's just her story. It's just something that happened to her. And it's why she's so passionate about helping us. So if they can connect with me on that level, imagine what mom can do to help them better understand, okay, this is why mom is talking to me this way. So I can count to 10 before I yell at her or yell back at her and just receive her for her experience. And that's what's shocking the mothers, because the girls are going home and they're calm. They're not reacting to mom. And mom is like, what are you saying? It's so funny. They're like, what are you telling my daughter? Because she's not like talking back. She's quiet. She's actually listening. And it makes me feel so good, because the girls, they feel mature. You know, they come back to my program and they're like, you know what? It worked. For me, I was so mad at my mom, but I just sat there and I was quiet. I just let her talk. And she was so amazed that I was just quiet. You know what I mean? And so things like that. And it just, they talk so much about how much they love their mom, even though they may not say it to mom. But they talk about how much they want to get to know her so much in my program that it's easy for them to go home and just be quiet and listen, because they really want to know.
That's a very good point. To my mother, who's also in her 70s, I do want to get to know you now that I'm an adult. I do want to better understand you as to who you are as a person, because I'm still carrying, as many of us are, we are probably still carrying that old idea of, this is my parent, this is how I seen them when they were working or providing for me, and that's all that I really know about them. Unless they were, and we had these different disagreements and arguments, there may have been that argument that caused your child to leave the house, and you regret some things that were said, and you wish you had said it differently. You may have wished you hadn't said it at all, but that caused that break in the relationship. So it's like, okay, how do we move toward a safe place of coming back again? I remember I had a conversation with my mother recently, and with her, I would say her generation was part of that you're to be seen and not heard. So a lot of things they internalized, a lot of things they didn't talk about. But I also noticed over the years that generation has been the most individuals that require medical attention.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they carried all of that burden, all of that pain, and it's been manifesting itself physically, where they are taking more medications than ever before.
Stressed out, depressed, early stage dementia, all that is happening.
Yeah.
In the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, so if they could only have that opportunity, they probably wish they could be heard. And it's not too late. It's not too late. They also have that fear of, oh my gosh, how did I treat my kids? Especially if I mistreated them or disrespected them, then they start thinking, oh my gosh, they can put me in a nursing home.
Right. Yes. They can just get rid of me. Payback.
Yeah, they can get rid of me now. And it's like, oh my goodness, what did I say? What did I do? And it's like,
Very true. That's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing when I talk to these moms, because I was afraid to do this. I mean, mothers had to come to me and ask for this. But I mean, I'm just an educator who has experienced so much, and I'm willing to share it. And I'm not, a psychologist or by any means, but I mean, I'm getting all these stories from these kids, and it's just on my heart, because I know what the future looks like. I'm living it with my 70-something-year-old mother. I know what it looks like. So this is so important that moms just get comfortable with telling their story. And what I do in my program is that I encourage moms for the first week to really sit down and write out their passion, whatever those dreams used to be, and, you know, where did they get derailed or, you know, how did they get taken off course at some point? So to actually sit down and map out those steps and really to go through what that felt like and what that pain feels like, and then stop and look and see, is your daughter showing some of these signs now? Is there some pain that you can see in your daughter today? So that is a way of starting the connection process. I encourage mom to do that, to write her passion out, look at it, and see where she got hurt, and is there any similarities right now with their teen girl. And there usually is. There's some sort of pain.
There is. And in addition to that pain, sometimes if you come from a family of high achievers,
yes.
Oh my goodness, the high achievers, there's nothing less than perfection.
Right.
So if you have your mother who is of that mindset, it's normal.
Right.
You want the best for your child. But if
mm-hmm.
you take it to that level to where, as you have mentioned, and we both have seen this, where that child is under excessive stress, they could be acting out in school. It could lead them to be promiscuous, God forbid,
right.
But it could lead them to veer off a path that normally they may have not wanted to do, but it's out of that act of rebellion in order to get that attention that they're really screaming for, that they're really desiring. So what I've seen with overachieving parents, especially the mothers, is that, yes, I want my child to be in MIT. I don't want them to have a job at Walmart. But here's the thing. Here we are in April. School is about to let out again, and especially those teenagers that are juniors and seniors that could be looking at going off to college. Probably parents are pushing them to go. And I've written an article about that in terms of sit down and listen to your child as to what they really want to do. Where it's not so much as you better go to college because this is my alumni and this is the family generation and this is how we do it here. But at least listen to what the child is really feeling. They may want to go to college, but they're just a little anxious about it. And since you as the parent have gone, maybe they want to hear some of your stories. And
right.
once they hear some of your stories, that may remove the edge off of them to say, okay, if college life is not as bad as I thought it would be because mom and dad have shared some of their stories, okay, now I can face this a little more with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So have you seen that, Yoli, as well?
Yeah, I've seen a couple relationships improve by mom just jumping out there and just doing, you know, just taking some steps and, you know, setting aside specific time. It could be a bonding activity when they go and get their nails done, you know, and mom will just bring up a conversation about, you know, something similar to what you're saying. She may say, oh, I remember when I was in school, I had these fears, or I was thinking about this, and how do you feel about this? Are you thinking about this? Are you worried about that? You know, there's a way to transition into the conversation. So, yeah, I've definitely experienced that. Through a bonding activity, though, they get out of their home, they get away from what's familiar, and do something with the two of them together, and then mom brings up some of these questions.
Mothers and daughters can make that transition to opening up more, telling their stories. Take a short break here, but when we come back, I want to talk about those mother and daughter relationships where it's not so easy to, where they have that difficult relationship. So when I come back, let's talk about that, okay?
Okay, sure.
I'd like to invite our listeners to stay around and listen to the next upcoming episodes on Life Coach Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. On May 8th, Create Your Bliss with Nika Anon interviews Moroccan leader Lauren Messerman. That's also going to give some earlier shows here, because this show is being pre-recorded. On April 5th Standard Time, Lifeline with Wendell Buckner, Attitude is Everything with Stacey Campisi. Again, that's Lifeline with Wendell Buckner, Attitude is Everything with Stacey Campisi. On April 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Schaub. On April 20th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Accountability, Saying What You Mean and Meaning What You Say. Again, that show will be featured on April 20th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard. You are listening to a pre-recording Yoli.
Yes.
We had such a great conversation starting the show out, like the mothers to be open and transparent and share some of their stories with their daughters. So I want to transition here for a second and talk to the young ladies and the mothers who are not there yet. No matter what, they still have that contentious relationship that is difficult to manage. Even into their adults here where the daughter probably says, forget it, I don't want to talk to her, I have nothing to say to her, and in reference to their mother, and they're like, they're done because
right.
There's been too much hurt, too much pain exchanged there. Have you come across young ladies at that stage?
Oh boy, absolutely. I've had young girls that were cutters that just out of stress, they go into their room and cut themselves and the parents have no idea what's going on. And they just express themselves, or this one particular young girl would just express herself. How did she explain it to me? Just simply said, by cutting herself, it was a relief. It just made a breeze in some way. And so I said, okay, so you're looking for an opportunity in some way to just breathe and be understood and just feel safe. And she said, yeah. She said, well, cutting to me is just freeing. And so she was with me for about 6 to 8 weeks. And by the end of that, her experience with me, just talking to an outsider, helped her dramatically. And I think for that mom that cannot communicate with her daughter, it is, I think, her responsibility to seek out a mentor. Because you shouldn't have to force an issue. Primarily, I talk to teen girls that are looking for a relationship with their mom. But if you're finding it difficult, you definitely need to reach out to somebody like myself, a strategist that can talk to the teen girl by herself, because I will get more information than mom will be able to get, or a school coach, you know, a sports coach of some kind, or a mentor, a teacher. I would definitely ask mom to definitely reach out to someone outside of herself to just serve as a mentor. And some moms say, okay, well, how do I get that started? So if it means, for using a teacher, for example, it would mean, you know, you would have a private conversation with the teacher and ask that they stay after school for a particular period of time, and you guys prearrange that. And the daughter might not know anything about it, but it may just be a special gesture from the teacher that she can just say, oh, you know, I wanted to spend some time with you after school. You seem to be distant, or you seem to be somebody that's really sharp, and I want your opinion on something. There's a way for a teacher to get involved privately with the young girl to earn her trust. And so I've watched teachers do that, and I, as a teacher, have done that myself. I'm speaking from experience of how I have gained the trust of a teenager, where I just said, you know, I see something special about you, and you seem to be very intuitive, and you're quick-witted, and you have a sharp tongue, and you're sarcastic in class. But there's something about your sarcasm that I can use because you're pretty sharp. So I want to meet with you after school. There's little things that I used to do as a teacher to pull them. So I would just encourage mom to definitely recruit outside of herself, absolutely, to support her. Yeah.
You reminded me of a story that I worked with a client about a couple of years ago as well. Not as a cutter, but the situation was the mother was divorced, two teenage daughters, having a difficult time really from the divorce, and many, many, many women who are single mothers that are trying to recover from the divorce usually don't end up well financially. A small percentage does, but for the most part, they're having to struggle just with getting child support for the kids. So they end up having financial difficulties just trying to make ends meet. So in this particular case, this was going on with this young lady and her two daughters. And the oldest daughter was really the champ because she was a junior, I believe, in high school. But yet she wanted to, again, be premature as an adult. She was staying out late at night, not in school like she was supposed to be. She wasn't a cutter, but she was a very good manipulator. And you could always flash the eyes and the smile and what they call those pretty little liars.
Yes.
Liars. And, you know, I really saw through her. So I pulled her aside and I just had a conversation with her. I said, you know, your mother's really doing her best. She's really trying to do her best to keep you all together, keep the family together. And she's having to start over. So since you're the oldest one, what would it look like if you helped her out by staying in school, by getting a part-time job, by helping your mother out in some kind of way, right?
Right.
So she made that commitment. Oh, okay. I'll do that, and I'll make sure that I help her out. I said, even if it's just cleaning up your room and keeping the house clean while your mother is at work, the two of you are of age where you can help her out. And I said, and don't just tell me this just to be saying this, you know, because I'm going to hold you accountable to this.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go again. Here's another episode where her and her mother got into an argument, and of course, she felt like she couldn't stay at the house anymore, so she's leaving her best friend's house. Well, needless to say, somehow she ended up where I had to meet her. What's really going on here? You told me and made a commitment to me that you would help out. But your family members just applauding your misbehavior that, oh, poor you, poor you, poor you. I'm not buying it, you know?
Right.
So as I had that conversation with her, since she saw that I wasn't buying it, guess who she's angry with?
You.
Not only that, but she goes back to her mother. Oh, she talks so mean to me.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, what was the mean part of that you didn't keep your commitment?
Mm-hmm.
That I held you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you go back and tell another story. So needless to say, the mother was angry with me for months. For months. But let me tell you the positive part of this story. But yes, the mother was angry with me for months. However, when it was all said and done, the grandmother got involved and said, you actually were told some very sound advice. You weren't told anything that you didn't already know, and yes, it's time to stop the manipulation and start getting your life in order. So after the grandmother interjected there and supported the coaching that was going on, the young lady actually ended up going to off to school. And she's doing extremely well. She ended up graduating. She went back to school. She started going back on a regular basis. I think she's going to be graduating with high honors this year. And her mother is now pleased with the outcome. She couldn't see it at the time, but she came to me and said, you know, I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to hear it. And it made me seem like I had failed.
That's powerful.
And I'm not at all understood, and look at where we are now. happen. But it was probably just that needed to happen at that time, and mm-hmm. everybody needed to think it through, and you have a good outcome.
I was just going to say that, that those quiet moments alone, that teen girl remembered what you said. She mm-hmm. remembered.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, and now she can, she's now being away at school, she's now being more responsible. She's now having to be accountable for herself because okay. this is long term. So mm-hmm. it's always good to know that help is available.
Yeah, and even if mom is nervous about it, to do it anyway because she needs help. And like you said, mom feels like she's a failure, or a lot of times they're just afraid to admit they need help, they need the support. You know what I mean? They're just afraid to say so. So that's powerful. I'm glad that she was able to admit that to you.
Yeah, she did, because she was at that point in her life where, of course, her marriage was over, so she felt like she had failed there, and she mm-hmm. felt she was just failing at everything. So it was that point to where she just said, I just felt like I was failing. Not at all understood, mm-hmm. but here's the thing. You now have a new perspective. You're mm-hmm. able, you're starting a new beginning. And this mm-hmm. is all new. And you're having to do it alone. And you got these daughters. You have a lot of responsibility here.
Right.
But it's good to know that it really is mm-hmm. a challenging experience for parents to just to relate to their children. But the journey
mm-hmm.
for children to adulthood is definitely filled with multitude of changes. And at times, parents can often be unaware of their child's many developmental stages. And that creates that stress. But what's good to know is that you and I as coaches, we can help facilitate that growth for both
yeah.
the parents and the children, by assisting them in understanding these changes.
And I was going to say, we have to break down this barrier of pride. There's so much pride in particularly, I would say, in African-American communities, and I'm sure in other communities as well, but there's so much pride attached to our stories and not sharing those things. And that's creating a barrier. And I mean, we really have to start letting that down and letting these girls in, because if we don't, somebody else will, and it will not be in a way that helps their daughter. It will be in a way that helps these predators, because I'm sure you're aware of sexual trafficking and all these things are on the rise, and they're now going onto the school campuses to recruit these young girls, because some of these predators just know how to get the girls' attention, you know, how to make them feel warm and fuzzy. And so the disconnect is happening because there's a fear for mom or dad, and that needs to be addressed. You know, we have to let these things down. We have to let them go, let the pride go, and start talking.
We also want to talk about, Yole, is that we mentioned two type of relationships, and let's also talk about the other relationship. There are the mother and daughter relationships that are pretty good, but they do want to make it better. And I'm glad you brought up predators. I'm so glad you brought up predators, because uh-huh. I'm also putting together a program called Mistress Reduction Program. And it is for young women who are of college age or entering into the workforce. And these young women come from a family, again, it could be both parents in the house or just single parenting. In this economic time, we see that college cost is on the rise.
Right. Yes.
We see college costs is on the rise. So sometimes student loans, grants, that's well and good, and scholarships, but sometimes it's just not enough. So mm-hmm. there's these older, wealthier men
yep.
who are in a financial position who probably offer them, I'll pay that financial gap, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Even though they may have students, they may have jobs on campuses or off campuses, but again, it's just
daddy, that's right.
Yeah, get a sugar daddy, and Chris said, free. So I got a program that I have that I put together called Mistress Reduction for that very reason, because there could be the gap where the parents are not talking, the mother's not talking, dad's not talking, and this young girl could be vulnerable, exposed, and naive, not knowing what to expect.
Yeah, it's very true. And then in some cases, like I said, on some of these high school campuses, they're being recruited by other high school students.
Yes.
And they end up at a slumber party, and the pimp is there, you know?
Uh-huh.
And in some cases, they're being taken away. I mean, it's a slavery thing. It's not by choice. So there's a lot of things going on right now. And so that's why I really stress this relationship with this, with mom and dads and their kids, because bottom line is whether they have an attitude or not, you need to know what's going on in your child's life. You need to figure out a way to connect with them through a third party or yourself. It has to happen because it's getting out of control right now.
Especially when entering the workforce, you may have a student, your daughter is very bright, 4.0 grade point average, but if she's never worked in the corporate environment before, or never been in the workplace before, it is easy to feel like the only way that you are able to advance your career is that your boss tells you, or implies, you have to sleep with them. Or
yeah.
Your colleague says, I can show you how to get ahead, you know, work the ropes, but this is how you do it. And you can say, no, I'm not falling for the okey-doke here.
Right.
I'm going to be well informed because I'm connected,
self-respect. Yeah, I was going to say self-respect starts at home. Mom has to teach that self-respect so that they can stand up to predators like that.
If dad is around in the picture, we admonish dad. Take
to
value your daughter. That's pretty much that's what she's needing from you.
Yes. That would dispel all of this stuff if they had some sense of self, identity, and respect. It would be... they would be able to handle predators much easier.
Yeah. What I like to do with most of my families that I work with, I like to empower them by starting them off with two. We mentioned some great tools here and the steps that you mentioned. I like to add two, where they start a family mission. You know, you have mission statements at work. How about creating a family mission statement at home? That way, that too can bring the family together.
That's powerful. Yeah. I speak about rituals and traditions, and that lines right up with that. Yeah, that's great. Yes, a mission statement in the household.
Absolutely.
And that could be reviewed monthly or celebrated in some way annually. That mission, you know, our goal and how we're going to exemplify that through some of the activities and time that we spend together. There's many ways to fulfill that mission. That'd be great. I like that.
Thank you, Yoli. And since we're getting close to the top of the hour, are there any final thoughts you would like to share with the listener?
Well, I just want to encourage every mother and father, parent out there, to know that you are definitely not alone, and to please speak up more often and seek help and assistance in raising these, particularly these teenagers, because they're at a critical time of growth, and they are definitely watching everything, and they want to learn. They don't know how to ask for the help, but they want the help, but they're paying attention. And so I just encourage everyone not to to be too prideful, and to reach out to someone like myself or you. You know what I mean? We can definitely be there for everybody.
And Yoli, will you please give our listeners your contact information, how they can reach out starting your mother-daughter program?
Oh, definitely. Everyone can go to bondingmothersanddaughters.com, and there you will see the top three mistakes moms are making that are keeping their teen girls distant. So that's just a quick free little video series that I'm giving away to kind of tap into a lot of things we were talking about today. So if people want to go there, that would be a great place. bondingmothersanddaughters.com. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Yoli. Listeners, I just want to say thank you so much that the Energy for Success radio show with Upper Mathis podcast is happy to be sponsored by audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. Sign up at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio to learn how to get your free trial. Energy for Success Radio Show and the Life Coach Radio Network needs your support. So please go to audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio and sign up for your membership trial today. To our listeners, I hope you enjoyed the past hour here. I know that I did, and I've learned so much today, and that you found it engaging and enlightening at the same time. Today is decision day. It's time for our mothers and daughters to reconnect and stay connected. If you want to work with Yoli or myself in the Mistress Reduction Program or start your own family mission statement, you're welcome to reach out to me at www.debramathis.com. That is debramathis.com. We also welcome your feedback. You can send me an email at e2sshow@debramathis.com. Yoli, are you on Twitter?
I am. It's Yoli Tamu, YOLITAMU.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. And my Twitter is @EngageToSuccess. If you would like to be coached on the air, again, I have an open casting call on debramathis.com where you can click on E2S Radio and click on the casting call and sign up for that. I want to say again to our listeners, thank you again for joining me. I'm Debra Mathis, your Energy for Success coach, here to energize your best you. Have a great week, everyone.
Definitely. Thank you, Debra.